If I hadn't told the Wednesday night class we were going to talk about being lights, some might think, well, he's preaching this sermon because we were without lights a few days ago, Friday evening. Several of us were without. But I'd already planned on preaching this lesson this morning. It just fell at an opportune time. And certainly, those experiences will help us to emphasize this idea that we are lights in the world. This being the first Sunday of the month, our lesson is from one of the songs that we sing, and you can probably guess which one it is, "Ye Are the Light of the World." It's a song we're all familiar with. It's a very simple and easy song to sing, and I think it is a song that has a message that we need to keep in our minds, that we need to think about on a regular basis. It's not just that we belong to God and that we are saved and we're going to heaven to be with God, as we talked about last week, the joys that will be there and the things that we will miss in heaven if we're not there. We need to recognize that we are to be lights now. We have a responsibility to light the world. And so we want to spend some time talking about this idea. We'll look at the verses of the song and some things that we can see from that song that I think will help us in this responsibility that we've been given by God to demonstrate Him to the world. And I think that's what we need to recognize when we talk about being a light in the world, a light for Jesus. I'll also reference a few other songs, titles, or some phrases from them as we go through, because there's a number of our songs that talk about this idea of shining our light for God. And so we'll reference some of those and tie them in as we go. But as we begin, I want us to recognize and I want us to get the thought in mind that the reason that we need to be such bright and useful lights in the world is we live in a place of darkness. When the power goes out, one of the first things we start doing is finding something that can give us some light. Because we want to see where we're going. We want to see what we're doing. If we know we're going to be walking out in the woods at night, we carry a flashlight with us, or a torch, or a lantern, or something. When we go up in the attic and we don't have any lights up there, we take a light with us so we can see. When we go down in the basement or in the cellar, we carry a light. Because when we are surrounded by darkness, it makes it hard to know where we're going, what we're doing, what is around us. And of course, that's kind of what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 3. We hear John chapter 3 and verse 16 on a regular basis. But the rest of that passage following that talks about this idea of light and man's reaction to light. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The judgment that has come into the world, the thing that is going to condemn the world, is light came into the world to show us the way. And men shrank away from the light because they wanted to keep doing their evil deeds. Now, understand, this is spoken by Jesus to the Jews, the nation of Israel, the remnant, the nation left after all the captivities and such that they had gone through and returns. And this people fit this description very well. They were more interested in darkness than in light. We've been seeing that in our Wednesday evening classes. We've gone through the trials of Jesus and His crucifixion just this past Wednesday. They rejected the light of Jesus because He exposed their evil deeds. In some ways, that's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about, is exposing the evil, the darkness of the Jewish leaders in light of the Word of God. Jesus is light. He came into the world to give us light. And if we believe in Him and follow Him, we do that which is true, and our works are done and carried out in God. And we need to be a light in this dark world. Paul told the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 7, "Therefore do not become partners with them," the people of the world, the people of wickedness, "for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Paul, Peter, Jesus, John, James, Jude, all of the New Testament writers emphasize to us that we have a responsibility to walk as light, because the world needs light. The world is full of darkness, and we are the light in the world. We need to make sure that we are a light. Be a light. Be a light for Jesus every day, one of our songs says. Our particular song we're considering this morning says, "Oh Christian, do not hide your light, for ye are the light of the world. But keep it trimmed and burning bright, for ye are the light of the world." Now, most of us don't deal with trimming our lights anymore. Some of you may have over the last couple of days if you broke out the kerosene lantern. But you used to have to trim the wick so the light would be brighter. You cut off the part of the wick that's already been burned. Sometimes you'd have to trim it the right shape based on what kind of lamp you had. And you kind of adjust it till you get it just right so it's got just the right amount of light and not too much smoke or soot to fog up the globe so you can get the most light possible. We have to do that. If we want our light to be visible to the world around us, we have to trim our light. We have to cut back the things that would make our light dull. Now, John tells us when he writes in 1 John chapter 1 that God is light. And if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. It also tells us just before that that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all, because there is no sin in God. He is pure light. He is all light. But we have to deal with sin in our lives, and we need to be conscious of that. We need to be careful of that, lest it hide our light. I think one of the questions that we need to ask ourselves when we're talking about, am I a light? Or even when we say, I am a light, are we a floodlight or are we a flickering candle? You know, candles, in fact, even the old Coleman mantle lanterns would have trouble when the wind starts blowing. If you didn't have a good globe on there, the wind would start blowing at light. Mantles will start moving around, or the candle flame will flicker because of the winds of difficulty, the struggles. We need to recognize that we can be a flickering candle to the world rather than a torch of light. You know, you can get all kinds of lights nowadays. Most of us are relying on light sources that use batteries when the power goes out, of one sort or another. And you can get some that just light up your yard like it's daylight outside. Or you can get some that are just a little pinprick of light that are only good power went out and I was typing some stuff and I went to use and I couldn't remember which key was what. I never was good at touch typing. Some of those keys just weren't where I thought they were going to be. So I got a little pen light about this long and about that big around. And I'd shine it and I could see about six keys on my keyboard shining that light unless I moved it around. Now I got another flashlight, I turned it on and I can read stuff across the room with it. With it aimed at the floor almost. We got all kinds of lights. So question for us, what kind of light am I? If I've got sin in my life, I'm not much of a light. We can hide our lights. If we put it under a bushel, what's the little kid's song? Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. We need to let our light shine. Paul told the Thessalonian brethren, you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And I think because of the context there, we have to recognize that term sober has to do with not drunk. We can't let sin get in the way of shining our light. Paul told the Colossian brethren in Colossians chapter 2, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Pay attention to where your source is. Don't get tricked by human ideas. Make sure your guidance, your instruction, your light comes from Christ, not from men. That's a plea for finding authority for how we conduct our lives as individuals and as a congregation. And of course, that's a whole other series we're working on, so we won't get into that a whole lot. But we need to know where our light is based in. What fuels our light? Is it men or is it Christ? The light of men is going to be dim. It's going to be hidden with sin, with error, with wrong. The light that comes from God is going to be pure and clean. And it is going to be right and it is going to shine in this dark world. James warns his readers in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Why am I asking for these things? Why do I need to do this? What is my purpose in that? Is it for myself? Or is it for God? You adulterous people, James says. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Note that. James says that people whose passions follow after the world, even though they may follow after God as well, are an adulterous people. Same kind of language was used of Israel of old because they were honoring God, so to speak, in the temple with their sacrifices, while at the same time offering sacrifices and prayers to the foreign gods of the land around them. Marrying foreign wives and raising foreign children. They were an adulterous people. And we know what that idea entails. We know about things that get stained by wickedness. What kind of light am I shining? Is my light coming true from God? Or is it tainted by the ideas of myself? Or of other men? Am I a torch or a flickering candle whose light burns only at the whim of the winds of the world? We are the light of the world. So we need to be a pure source of light. As I read the second verse of this song, I was reminded of another song. Maybe you recognize this title I've got here, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Yeah, that song's in our book as well. Now, this verse isn't talking about just brightening our corner, but that's where we have to start. It says, go show to all the path of light, for ye are the light of the world. Go bring the straying back to light, for ye are the light of the world. Our light is not just for ourselves. Our light is for others. If the power goes out and I'm the only one that needs light, I can get by with that little pen light. Maybe a light that shines just a little more. But if I want the people around me to know that there is light, I'm going to have to get a brighter light. It's going to have to be something that shines out rather than only inward. Our light needs to shine out to the world around us. We need to brighten the area where we are with the light of God. Because our light is there to bring the straying back to the right by holding forth the word of life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, beginning, Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Philippian brethren, you need to study, you need to learn, you need to progress. We could go over to Hebrews chapter 5. It talks about when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Paul says you've been taught, now you need to live in accordance with that teaching and you need to grow and increase. But he also says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And Paul's focus is not on his feelings about what's going on. His focus is upon them and their condition. And he says, not only are you to brighten the light in yourself, but you need to brighten your light so that it shines to the community in which you live. You need to show others that light by how you conduct yourself. Groaning and grumbling and disputing with one another does not shine the light of God to the world. Arguing and complaining, even with people of the world, does not shine the light of God to them. We need to make sure that the actions that we are engaging ourselves in, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we need to make sure that we're shining the light of God in that situation. We are to be a bright and shining light in the community where we live, in our homes. Oh, what a responsibility is laid upon parents. Fathers, mothers, grandparents, bosses, teachers, because we need to be careful of our life. What's it showing? Is it showing God? But we also need to take our light elsewhere, not just in our home, not just in our neighborhood, not just among our brethren. We need to shine our light all the places that we go. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, now when he heard that John had been arrested, Jesus withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Some of you, hopefully all of you, wait, I just read that getting ready for Bible class tonight. Yes. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 through 16 contains a quote from Isaiah. But the quote is what we're looking at, not where it came from. We understand it came from God, certainly. But what he says is, when Jesus came into that area, he fulfilled the prophecy that there would be a light to those who were in darkness. You stop and think about it. The northern part, certainly of Israel, divided off. 10 tribes. And the further north you went, the further they got from serving God. They were so far from serving God, they couldn't even be bothered to go down to Bethel to the idol that Jeroboam had built down there. They had to have their own idol up in the area of Dan, so they wouldn't have to go too far to worship. Don't get me wrong, they'd have been wrong at either idol. But they were so far removed from the light that they were in darkness. But when Christ came into that region in the first century, he fulfilled the prophecy that a great light would come upon them. They have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. The people of that area of Israel were looked down upon by those in Jerusalem. They were just Galileans. They were from that region up there, separated from God. In particular, named or Zebulun and Naphtali, their lands in that area. And Jesus became a light to them when he came into that region. Why? Because he continued to speak the word of God and preach it to them, just like he had in Jerusalem and in Samaria. And in other parts of Galilee. Wherever the Word of God goes, it shines God's light. Many times in Scripture, God's light is compared to the sun. You are aware that the sun shines on all parts of the earth. There's no part of the earth that does not see the sun at some point. The sun shines on all the earth. And of course, the instruction we're given in the Great Commission. Wait, given to the apostles, right? Yeah, and in the apostles' Great Commission, they're told to give us the same commission. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Mark records for us. Matthew's account, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Go make disciples and then teach them to go make disciples. We have a responsibility to carry the light of God throughout the world. And it begins by carrying the light of God to our neighbors and friends. To the shopkeepers and workers, to the customers, to the random people that we might have opportunity to speak to throughout our day, each and every day of the week. One of the reasons I chose to look at this particular song this morning, because this is the first Sunday of April. On the last Sunday of April, our gospel meeting begins, a special effort of proclaiming the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you take a look at the topics that are there, they are topics that will be helpful to anyone who is seeking to know Christ. We have an opportunity to spread the gospel in our community. Now, all we can do is let people know that it's available. Or let them know that we're willing to come and talk to them about it at some more convenient time with them, if they would prefer that. But we have a responsibility to go and say, here's the light. And we need to make sure that we're doing that. And we have a special opportunity this month as we prepare for our gospel meeting to go and say, here is the lie. Because see, we have to let people know that there is a pathway of right and a pathway of wrong. Enter the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. You ever tried to find a road while you was traveling at night in an area that you're not familiar with? Before Google and GPS. The map says it's there, but I can't see it anywhere. Shine a little light on it. We put lights and reflectors at the end of our own driveway so we can find them to turn in sometime. So we don't turn off into the ditch. We turn down the pathway we want to go. We are those lights and reflectors at the path of right. So we need to shine that light. We don't have to glamorize it. We don't have to enhance it. The gospel is its own illumination. Another one of our songs. There's sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any other shine. And Jesus is that light. The Word of Christ is a bright and shining light to those who will take advantage of it. We don't have to make it bright. We just have to reflect its light. That's what Jesus is telling us there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. I am the light of the world. I am a city that is set on a hillside, not hidden under a basket. And when I shine my light, I am shining the light of God, letting God's light shine through me. And we need to let Jesus shine through us. Brighten and enlighten the area where you are, no matter where that may be. And keep the light on. I know it doesn't exactly fit, but when I read the third verse of this song as I was studying on this back through the week, I thought of another one of our songs. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the way. Some poor, weary, wandering seaman you may rescue, you may save. I think I missed a word or two there. But the idea is we need to keep our lights on. We need to continue to fuel the fire that the Word of God has put in our soul. Those two on the road to Emmaus, after they had realized that they had been listening to the Christ and He had revealed Himself to them, said, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us, while He spoke to us? And it encouraged them to go back and let the brethren know that they had seen the Lord. We need to continually feed our light so that it never goes out. If we're going to have an extended power outage, we make sure all the batteries are charged up. We make sure we got an extra can of kerosene or whatever it is, lamp oil that we use. We may even go to Walmart and buy one of them expensive ones just so we make sure we got enough to get through. Because we are wise virgins. The song says, do not let your light burn low, for you are the light of the world. But keep it bright and onward go, for you are the light of the world. If we're going to be prepared to shine our light, we have to keep feeding it fuel. That's what Jesus is talking about there in Matthew chapter 25 with the parable of the 10 virgins. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Well, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins who rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. They weren't prepared. Now, I'm aware. The timing of this parable and the context tells us he's talking about being prepared for the end of time. That wedding feast is talking about eternity. I recognize that, and certainly that's a part of, that's one of the main things we need to get from this. But I think the principle stands true no matter what. If we're going to shine our light, we have to make sure our light has plenty of fuel. We have to be ready to feed that light at all times. We need to keep the light of God bright. And there's only one way to keep a light burning bright. Keep feeding it fuel. I don't care how you trim the wick on a kerosene lamp. If it ain't got no fuel in the bottom of it, it ain't going to burn long. I don't care how bright your battery-powered torch is. If your battery ain't charged, it ain't going to shine nothing. You know how we charge our batteries? We read and study from the Word of God. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, the psalmist tells us. In fact, if you haven't recently, go read Psalm 119. You can read it in 8-verse chunks. It's nice and easy. You can read it in 8-verse chunks, and it'll remind you of how important the Word of God is in our lives. And Tuesday night, we're going to be studying it. Our house or yours? Your house? We're going to be at David and Paul's. Hopefully you won't have to bring buckets. But we'll be studying. We actually are in Psalm 119 with our studies of the Psalms. 7:30, Tuesday evening. 6:30. You're right. 6:30. Man. I'm going to have to start writing everything down. We'll be in Psalm 119, which is a psalm that is wholly about the importance of the Word of God in our lives. And we need God's Word because we need Christ within us. Jesus spoke to them in John chapter 8 and verse 12 saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, John tells us in 1 John chapter 1. The more time we spend in the Word of God, the more fuel we have to feed our light, the greater our charge of light from Christ. Our light shines to others in how we conduct ourselves each and every day. Our deeds, whether they are good and righteous deeds or they are worldly deeds, will let people know what light we follow. We need to make sure that we are keeping ourselves focused upon the truth. Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Paul said the Word of God is there to help us keep sin out of our lives and to lead righteous and holy upright lives in the light of God. We need to spend time in the Word of God so that we can shine God's light in the world each and every day. Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans 13 verse 12, beginning, "The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Fill yourself up with Christ and cast all the other things away. You don't want contaminated fuel going into your heart if you want to shine brightly for the Lord. Used to have an old truck years ago that was prone to collecting water in the gas tank. That thing didn't run good when it had water in the gas tank. It might fire up and run just great, and I'd get a little ways and always carried a bottle of heat with me. In fact, I usually carried at least two bottles of heat. That'd be enough to get me wherever I needed to go. Used to have to be worried about that kind of, we don't have to worry about that so much maybe now. But contaminated fuel does not make for a bright light. That's what Paul is saying here. When he's talking to Titus, when he's talking to the Romans. In fact, when he's talking to the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. With ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul says, I don't teach you me, I teach you Christ. For God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If we want to keep our light on, we have to feed it with the fuel of God's Word. We need to feed it daily. And we need to meditate on it hourly, minute by minute, each and every day. We need to keep our focus on God's Word and keep other things from contaminating our minds with the things of this world. Because we are the light of the world. For ye are the light of the world. For ye are the light of the world. And keep your lamps all trimmed and bright. I think some songbooks say all burning bright. For ye are the light of the world. We need to do regular maintenance on our light so that it is shining the light of Christ, shining the light of God. And if we keep our lights bright by walking in the heavenly sunlight, letting it flood and fill our souls, we can move forward toward the prize. Paul told the Philippian brethren, "I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We need to keep our lights burning bright by replenishing our minds and hearts with the Word of God. For God is light, Christ is light, His disciples, His apostles are light, His Word is light, the Gospel is light, the truth is light, and if we want to be a light, we need to fill our tanks with that light. I've used before the illustration of a reflector, that we are a reflecting of God's light, and that's a valid illustration. But I think another illustration is one that we've been using through this lesson. If we want to shine God's light, we need to fuel ourselves with God. That's how we shine God's light. Filling ourselves with Him. We need to be living in accordance with His will in all things because we are lights in a dark and terribly wicked world. And when others see our good works, who are those works being guided by the light, the fuel that is God, they will see God. And they will glorify God in heaven for those right things that we do. We are the light. We need to be a light. We need to brighten our area. We need to shine forth and keep shining the heavenly sunlight of Christ throughout all our lives. Because God uses you and me as an influence in the world for good. Keep shining the light of God all your days. For God is the one that will judge ultimately. It is Christ's word that will determine where we spend eternity. Turn that off before I do this. Our responsibility is to take the word of God and fill ourselves up with it so that others can know of Christ and learn of Christ and see Christ. And then we are to use that fuel that we are given to guide our own lives so that when we stand before Christ in judgment, we will receive commendation rather than condemnation. For one or the other is our faith. If we're walking in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all unrighteousness, makes us whole and right in the sight of God, and we can be with Him for eternity. In that place that we talked about last week, heaven, where all true blessings are found. It requires us to be a light for God in this world today. We can't just go hide in a cave somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. Trust me, if that would satisfy God, there's several of us that would be hiding in a cave right now. Well, we'd probably have a nice house, but we'd just be leaving people alone. But we can't do that. We have to walk through this dark world guided by the light of God so that our light shines to the world around us. For truly, ye are the light of the world, lit by the gospel of Christ. Are you living in accordance with the will of God? Have you given your life over to Him, confessing your beliefs in Jesus as the Son of God and His death and burial and His resurrection being your salvation? If you've done that, then you can turn from yourself, turn from the world, give yourself wholly over to God. Being buried in baptism, you can have your sins washed away. And you can rise up out of that watery grave, a new creature, a child of God, filled with the light of God, shining forth His Word to the world. If you've done that in the past and you find that you've allowed your light to be dimmed, you haven't been trimming your wick, you haven't been cleaning your globe, you've not charged your battery up, we encourage you to get back into the Word of God and find where your wrongs are and get rid of them. Correct them. Make them right, make them whole in the sight of God, and ask Him to forgive, and He's promised that He will. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if we can help you with that this morning, time and opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for your encouragement.